Okay, we're going to talk today about pride. Let's go ahead and pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Just ask for every sister that's listening that they begin to that they begin to hate their pride, and that their eyes are open to see what how much trouble it makes for them, but also understanding you know, the need for your grace and power to overcome it. And then just ask that they really launch an attack on their own pride, so that they can be more fruitful for your kingdom, and just be closer to you. Ask all these prayers you follow in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, I just want to read some scripture here. This is Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And this is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." The reason I'm saying these scriptures is because I'm going to start off talking about self-esteem. But before I start addressing that, I want to explain, like, kind of where I'm going, so that prayerfully this will make as much sense as possible, so it could be as fruitful as possible for any sister that's listening, okay? A lot of times, what I've seen with believers is that there's a lot of, like, wounds, okay? Like emotional wounds and just inward a lot of pain. And so they turn to self-esteem, okay? And what I'm going to be doing is talking about basically how this is not biblical, okay, and how it can actually lead to pride. But, you know, I do want to, the reason why I was giving those scriptures is because, and I'll get into more detail about how as Christians we are very, very valuable, just as people have a lot of value, just because that scripture, what I just read right there, we're made in the image of God. Like, so it's actually, in the Bible, it says the sin to abuse yourself, okay? Why? We're made in the image of God. So just off the bat, we've got value, okay? But I want to just address that first, and I'm going to get more detail about how, you know, establishing real value, okay? But first, what I want to do is address the deception of self-esteem, okay? And then I'll get into the rest of it. So prayerfully, that I explained that well.
Okay, I'm going to start with Isaiah chapter 14. I'm going to start with verse 12. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds." "I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." And then I'm going to read verse 11. It says, "Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread over, is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee." And then I want to read Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. Well, let's start at verse 11. It says, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." I want to start off with self-esteem, okay? Self-esteem is Luciferian, okay? Many of us have been taught that we are supposed to have it, okay? From a very young age, okay, and that it's like the root of all our problems in psychology and stuff, okay. But self-esteem, in a nutshell, is pretty much Isaiah chapter 14. Self-elevation, okay, self-exaltation, okay. We keep saying that, you know, Isaiah 14, I will ascend up to the clouds. Now, I'm not saying any sister that's listening, I'm not trying to say that self-esteem is trying to be like God, okay? Because there's a blindness that takes place there. But it is self-elevation, okay? Self-esteem, okay? That's pretty much just the definition of it, okay? Is to lift yourself, okay? To feel good about yourself based upon, yourself, basically. Just to lift yourself, okay? And this is, when we look at the scriptures, it's pretty much Isaiah 14. It's just exalting yourself. Self-elevation, very dangerous. You want to run from this, okay? Any form of this, because I see sisters doing this, okay? Thinking that they need to have some sort of value placed upon themselves, and they themselves are doing it, okay? And they don't know from a biblical foundation, there's utterly no scripture for that. Scripture actually goes to the exact opposite, okay, saying, like I read in Matthew 23, that if you exalt yourself, okay, you're going to be abased, which means brought low, okay? It's a bad thing, really bad thing. Once again, most ladies are blind. They don't know, okay? But I run across this a lot, okay? It's a hidden way, okay, to make people proud, okay? It's very sneaky. So you want to run away from this stuff, and you want to humble yourself, like he says, and let God exalt you. Okay, a couple of reasons for this. God's very smart. Okay, God's very smart. He knows everything. All right, you don't want to go exalting yourself. Number one, because just Jesus says right there, anybody who does exalt themselves is going to be abased. Okay, and I see this with ladies. They do exalt themselves. They're blind. They don't know what they're doing most of the time, but they keep falling and keep being abased because God's saying no, don't do that. Okay, and it causes a lot of problems in their walk. Okay. But I want to come from that foundation just because most people, most sisters today, have been brought up in this generation, have been taught self-esteem, and it's a satanic attack. It's a Luciferian belief system, okay? You don't want to have anything to do with it, okay? But just on a side note, God's very smart, okay? You never want to do anything for yourself, period, okay? Ever. On a side note, if I may reason with any sister that's listening, just on a basic truth, he's smart, he knows everything. And if you humble yourself before him, okay, then you will be safe, okay? He will exalt you in due time, just like he said, okay, Matthew 23, okay? But he'll do it in a way that's safe, okay? That's not going to be a stumbling block to anybody else. Okay, that's perfect in judgment. It's going to be safe for your soul, okay? So you don't get strayed off the path and pulled into something that's evil, okay? It's perfect, okay? Trust the Father, okay? And humble yourself continually before him, okay? Because he's smart. He knows what he's doing. And you're perfectly safe in his hands when he exalts you, okay? It's so comforting. It's so safe, okay? And you're not against him. Okay, because self-exaltation, majority of the time, okay, is in opposition to God's will because he's not doing it, okay? So then you get abased because a lot of times what happens with people when they do exalt themselves, okay, they don't realize, okay, this is Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. It says, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Okay? So what I have seen with people a lot of times, they don't realize it, they're blind to it the majority of the time, but when they do exalt themselves, okay, what I see happen oftentimes is here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 4, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, so I see this happen. It's like, no, you're exalting yourself, okay, against the knowledge of God. God is the only one that's exalted, okay? And imaginations casting down, you know? I see this happen because what happens is a lot of times it's a stumbling block for other people, okay? Instead of pointing the, pointing towards towards Christ and towards the Father continually, exalting Him continually, you know, pointing towards Zion, eternal life, the path, someone's pointing towards themselves, okay, in one way, shape, or form when they exalt themselves, okay, and then it gets cast down, okay, because it's a hindrance to people. They're getting confused, they're getting focused on, you know, this person and, you know, whatever the Lord's trying to do in this person's life, how the Holy Spirit, because you see Him, you watch Him boring to bring a person into repentance and eternal life, and He's working in this person because of pride, is exalting himself. And when you can see in the Spirit, you're walking in the Spirit, you see, oh, they're actually making trouble for this. Okay? And the Lord gives them time to repent. But if they don't, they get cast down. And it's not pretty. It's not anything that you would want to go through. Okay? But you can see, you know, the attack, you know, very early on with most children learning self-esteem at an early age are taught to do this. Okay? To exalt themselves. It's rather than exalt the Father. Okay? And then I want to read to you, this is Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. It says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." Okay? So having this just very humble and like lowly way of being is very good in the sight of the Lord. And again, just more scripture on this self-esteem and sort of prideful way of being. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1. And it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, true speakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Okay? So I want to focus in on where he says, lovers of their own selves. Okay? And he says boasters, and then proud, okay? It's like a lot of times this way of thinking, it's people don't know it, but it is boasting, okay? Taking merit in their own accomplishments, okay? And the thing is, if I may reason with any sister, okay, that's listening, the reason why a lot of ladies struggle so much, because it's what it is, it's a satanic attack, okay? Most of the time, okay, with young girls, when they go after self-esteem, okay, is because there's been some form of sort of a lack of love, okay, from what they're supposed to have, okay? So then it creates this void, okay? And then they're taught through the school systems, well, you need to fill that own void, okay, through loving yourself, through esteeming yourself, through self-esteem, okay? And they believe that. Okay? And they don't know any better, okay? They're trying to find rest because they've got this giant, you know, hole, honestly, inside their heart because they weren't loved the way they were supposed to. Very few children are brought up the way that God wants them brought up. There's so much demonic activity in people's houses these days. And then even if the house is good, you're going to get abused, you know, by the world, okay? Just take a look at a magazine. Things telling you, it doesn't come out right and tell you that you're ugly. You know what I mean? Constantly, okay? But it does it subtly. Subtlety by showing you a false image of beauty that is, you know, not even real the majority of the time. And even if it is, it doesn't matter. It's actually teaching young girls to be covetous, okay? To be looking at someone else, coveting the way that God made them, which in actuality, most of the time, they didn't make them that way. A lot of times it's artificial, you know, computer technology or surgery or things like that, and tons of makeup and so on and so forth, and alterations, okay? But it's teaching young girls to covet something else, okay, other than what God made them to be. So it's just this constant attack, okay, to to abuse, you know, people, and not just girls. It happens with men as well, okay, make them feel bad, and then he goes, then Satan. So it's Satan that's doing it, okay, abusing people, making them feel bad about themselves, and then he goes, here, this will make you feel better, self-esteem, so they exalt themselves, okay, so it's just a really evil 1-2 hit, run from it, just run from it, because, well, let me start here, okay, for anybody that does struggle, okay, and with self-value, okay, and having that peace inside their heart. This is the bottom line, okay? This is 1 Peter chapter 1, okay, starting at verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Okay? For you. Man, that's huge. You know, I just, like, if you can receive that, I'll tell you, man, I don't know. It's a spiritual thing, and you got to really, because if your mind is worldly and carnal, okay, and there's sin in your heart and sin in your mind, this could blind you, okay, from actually seeing how special that verse is and that truth. I mean, the whole New Testament, you know, is about that, us redeemed by the blood of Christ. When you know that and you hear that, see, if you love this world and if you love your life and you love this place, okay, you're not going to see how special that is. It's not going to be valued in your eyes, okay? But if you repent and come out of the world, I don't mean to laugh, but if you repent, come out of the world, come out of sin, so you can see clearly, see the truth, you're going to be floored when you really understand that you're a possession of Christ. Man, just the thought of that, okay, will fix any self-esteem issues, which I don't mean to use that term because it's not a biblical one, but any sort of issues that you have of value. You've been bought. Okay? Think about something that you have that you really like. Okay? Probably take good care of it and things like that. Okay? So how much more you, okay, whom Christ has purchased and bought with his blood that came out of his own body, like he suffered for you to own you, okay? With the world, ownership is considered like bad or something, you know, jealousy and possessiveness. It's not. It's a good thing. It'll make you feel loved like you've never understood in your entire life. Okay? The feeling of knowing that you are owned by Christ. You belong to him. He owns you and he loves you. It's a beautiful love. It's a beautiful possessiveness. It's a beautiful jealousy. It's holy. And then let's go on to another fact. He's God. God. Most ladies, okay, all right, go nuts over movie stars or politicians, okay, in this world. If your average lady who, you know, worked at, you know, I don't know, McDonald's or was a maid, okay, and then, you know, the Prince of England came and said, I want to marry you, they would be like in fantasy land, right? Like, oh my gosh, it's a dream coming true. But then, okay, it would all fall when they realize, oh, this person's a simple human being just like me. Right? Big letdown, okay? But now, okay, for just a moment, okay, I'm asking you to think about the fact that this has happened to you. But it's not a letdown. It's not a fairy tale. It's the real thing. He's God. And he's bought you. And you're espoused to him. He's God, the real thing. Okay? Not a place of this world, but a real King of Kings, real Lord of Lords. And he's bought you with his blood. He's come after you. And he's God. What on earth does he want with us? Right? He's God. And he wants you. He wants you. And he's bought you. And you're his. Completely undeserving. Completely messed up. Completely flawed. Right? Completely unworthy. Let him love you. Don't love yourself. You're cutting yourself short, I'll tell you that much. Okay? You're cutting yourself short. He's gone. I mean, I ask any sister that's listening, if you struggled, you know, thinking that you're valuable because you've been put down, like, that should fix everything. If you receive it in truth. I can't tell you how many times I go through trials and fear comes upon me or attempts to, and I rest in that fact. I'm owned by Christ. I'm his possession. He's going to take care of me. Not because of who I am, but because he is. Who he is. He's perfect. Okay? Because of who he is perfect. He's a wonderful owner. Loving, kind, merciful owner. Okay? And then moreover, okay, this is James chapter 4, okay? It says, starting at verse 6, it says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore you say, if God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Okay? So a lot of times, okay, I'll tell you that my number one reason why I hate my pride, and I pursue it by faith. I ask the Lord to be humbled as low as possible. I can't even explain to you how much I hate my own pride, okay? If you have wisdom, you'll hate yours too, okay? Because if I have pride, then there's distance between me and my the Father, and me, and between me and Christ. Why? He doesn't like it. So then I get in my prayer closet and I feel this distance, okay? All right, because he doesn't like it, okay? But he likes it. He likes humility, okay? But then I also understand that it's part of my sin nature, and even because I can feel it, I hate it. I hate it so much. Things will be going good. He'll bless me, and then there's pride creeps in. I can feel it, you know? Like a big old fat thing that comes upon me. Goes that pride. So I have to pursue it even. I humble myself, okay? But then I have to pursue humbling myself even by faith, because that sin nature, it just resides in there. It wants to claim stuff that God does for itself and take credit from God for things. And when he opened my eyes that this was the main root of fear, okay? And a lack of thanksgiving, okay? Was pride. It's ugly. It's nasty. It creeps up. It's like this hard crust, okay, like a plaque upon the soul, okay, that needs to be removed, okay, you know, by faith even, because it's so hard. Even when you humble yourself, you'll see it still keeps showing up, okay, because why? Why do I fear, right? Because I'm deceived in my mind thinking that I have the power. I'm the one doing stuff. I fear and reverence God because I don't want to sin and be outside of his will. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about fear, okay, in terms of me trying to do things, or there's a problem and I got to solve it. Why? Because I really believe I have power. Why? Because I'm proud. Because there's pride there. But when it's removed, and I love it, and don't be afraid to do this, because if you ask God to humble you, okay, and he doesn't have to do it by force, because you're choosing to humble yourself, he does it so beautifully. It's glorious. He does it in ways where he blesses you and then opens his eyes, your eyes, to how much you had utterly nothing to do with it. And then you relax. You rest. Oh, man. He does it in such a beautifully cool. He's very merciful to the humble. So if you humble yourself before him, okay, and they pursue it by faith to get rid of this stuff, he will, okay? He does it. He opens your eyes to the fact. Think about it for 2 seconds, how much peace you'd have if you knew you didn't even have the power to breathe, okay? That whole process of you breathing and your brain doing that, you taking in breath and it coming out, okay, and your body, you know, receiving in that air, that whole process, if you could realize for 2 seconds that you had nothing to do with that, okay, nothing to do with it, you have no ability over your brain, okay, to make it like just stop working. You can't do that. He's doing that. If you could see that, if you could see these daily reactions that you have within your body, okay, and how he is doing that and holding it together, you would relax. You would have way more faith, right? He does stuff like this when you humble yourself before him. You start to see, oh my goodness, I've got nothing to do with this. And then you relax, not in a slothful way or in a lazy way, but what I'm trying to explain is you truly understand the need for his grace and why you just need to have faith in him and obey him and that everything will be okay. You can relax and rest on a deep spiritual level that pride doesn't let you do because it keeps making you look upon yourself and think about yourself and have faith in yourself, which is a lie. It's not true. So then you're like the house that's built on sand. You're constantly shaky. You have no rest, no security inside. And then you're not thankful. If you could open your eyes, right, and just see how grateful you are for a meal even, for a glass of water, okay? If someone goes through a fast or something, right, then they really appreciate their food. But what if you could have that Thanksgiving every day, every meal? Think about how happy you would be, okay? He can do that, okay, and make you more grateful and really appreciate those things that he does in your life that you don't even notice. Okay, most of the time, pride. Okay, pride. It robs you of all this stuff. Okay, because when you're proud, on some deep level, you believe you had something to do with that process. But it's really not true. No matter how together you are, or no matter what you've got going on, if God, you know, decided to take something away from you, you'd have no food. You'd have no water. Okay, it's him that brings it to pass. You just can't see it. It's hidden from you, okay? It's a spiritual, like, sight, okay? And then, moving forward even from there, if you're seeking any giftings of the Spirit, you can't be proud, okay? You can't be proud. Because if you take glory for small things that God gave you the power to do in the first place, okay, then how much more are you going to take glory and look upon yourself if he gives you real supernatural power, okay? Some like real gifting of the Spirit, okay? That's a hindering block to growing, okay? If you increase in knowledge and wisdom, okay? He says, what have you that you did not receive, right? Apostle Paul. So it's like everything that we have is a gift from God. So when you see that and you believe that and you receive that, then you can handle more. But if you take credit for the small things, then you can't move on and have more. Okay, it'll keep you in a certain place because you can't boast yourself against God. You can't take credit for things that he's done, okay? Especially when they start to get to the higher levels of things. It's a huge hindrance. I hate pride. I hate it. I hate it with a passion, okay? It creates this hindrance, okay, and this blockage between us and the Father, but it's deep and spiritual, and we can't even, once you actively humble yourself, you'll see it start to creep up. That's a lot of times why so many people are so happy. They look back in the midst of their trials, and they're really hard, okay? But because they were humbled by the Father, because they really needed something, they were really happy when they look at it. They look back and they go, outwardly, yeah, things are going well, but inwardly, I had so much peace. I was really happy. I was really close to the Father. Why? He humbled you. Okay? He humbled you there. And then you notice, you look, the second that the thing is granted onto you, you probably got puffed up in pride afterwards. And then all of a sudden you see this distance. You're walking off on your own. You didn't have that relationship that you had before. Why? Pride. Okay? And you want that continually. You want to be able, if you're humble, you can have that peace and that closeness consistently. Okay? Whether things are going really well for you, whether things are going really bad for you, it'll be the same consistently, okay? When God does it, okay, if you ask Him to humble you, okay, you'll have that closeness and that intimacy continually, even when things are going good, which is when the pride does start to creep up. And this is Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17. It says, "He that is in the way of life, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof, excuse me, erreth." And this is Matthew 15, after Jesus, gives a correction on something. It says, this is Matthew 15, starting at verse 12, it says, "Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard these sayings?" "But he answereth and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." And I've seen this before, you know, pride makes you blind, you fall. And the book of Proverbs is wonderful because it talks a lot about pride too. But it talks about he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. If you're humble, okay, then your ears are open to the Spirit when he's talking to you. If he sends someone to you, if you're struggling with a problem and he sends someone to you, to tell you what the problem is, you'll hear it, okay? But if you're proud, you won't, okay? Because you'll take offense, okay? It'll hurt your pride. Pride always thinks it's right and that it knows everything, okay? But the humble knows that we're not, okay? And that we need help, okay? So I've seen this before, okay? Where a person who's proud could be searching for answers and it could be right in front of them and they won't find it because they're blind, okay? And, you know, it could be right in front of them. Someone could be telling them the truth, but they still won't hear it because of that pride. They get offended, okay? And then what happens? Boom, they fall, okay, right into a ditch. And then it's once they're humbled, then their ears will be open to hear, you know, what he was trying to say to them. But do you want to go through that? You know, I like to tell them when I talk, to my kids, I ask them, I say, listen, okay, let's say, okay, just to pretend you got 10 days, okay, and then you're home. That's it. Do you want to spend 10 of those, do you want to spend 9 of those 10 days being humbled and told that you're wrong, okay, and then finally on the last day get it and then go home? Or do you want to start off from the get-go knowing for a fact that you're wrong and then spend all 10 days, you know, because you're humble and you're soft and your heart, that soil in your heart is receptive? Okay, you don't have to be broken, okay? Do you want to spend those 10 days already going from the bat, knowing that you're wrong, receiving the truth, and then bearing tons of fruit? Okay? You know, I hope that makes sense. I hope I explained that well. Don't waste time with pride. It's a waste of time. Like, it really, all of us have it to a certain extent, okay? Some more than others, you can see that, but if you launch war against your pride from the beginning, like, you know, as soon as you realize that it's a problem, and then that part of you is, like, handed over to the Father, and then you let him, like, destroy it for you early on, then you have more time while you're here to bear fruit for the kingdom of God. You know what I mean? okay? You're not going to have this tug of war and this battle between you and the Father where he's trying to humble you, okay? It's a waste of time. It really is. There's no, like, fruitfulness. It's good, okay, in terms of, like, I mean, he bears fruit, okay? Unfortunately, actually, when you see what happens with people who are proud, he bears fruit, but it's not... he makes an example out of you, to be honest with you. I've seen it where people watch and they go, okay, I don't want to be like that. The wise in heart will look upon it and go, oh my goodness. So he does bear fruit, but it's better if you're just humble, okay? That's the way to go. And you're working with the Spirit, okay?
And then just to touch again upon this, like, the importance and, like, just the real blessing of, like, humility. I'm going to read to you. This is John chapter 7, verse 27. It says, and this is the Jews. They're trying to figure out if Jesus is the Christ or not. It says, howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Okay? And you just kind of see this when you read through the gospel. There's other sections where people are searching. They're trying to, actually, I think this is kind of funny. They're trying to find out, you know what I mean, if Jesus is the Christ, okay? And there's like a lot of searching going on, okay? And he does say it before he's, when he's in front of the Pharisees, when he's condemned, okay, to be crucified, okay. But before that, there's just all, like, if you really just look through, it's different spots in the Gospels, but there's a lot of searching and questioning. But then you look here, okay, and this is John chapter 4. And this is when he's talking to the woman at the well, okay? The woman at the well, you know, she's got, you know, a background. She's got sin. There's stuff going on there. But she's a humble lady, okay? She's just kind of, like, lost. And you can see she's searching and she's looking for God, okay? Because you see here where she says that, this is verse 20. It says, our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. So you could tell she's just kind of looking. She's like a real lost sheep, right? But then what I really love is how Jesus, at the end of the conversation, okay, the woman says, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And then Jesus saith unto her, I that speaketh unto thee am he. I just love that, because he just tells her, like you see this with the Pharisees, where he tells them, but because of pride, okay, like it just the and basically like their own righteousness, like, and I've seen this with people, like, where there can be the truth right in front of you, okay, but when you have that pride, he's gotta, like, let you see basically that you're wrong, okay? First, before you can actually even have ears that will hear and receive the truth, okay? So it's not that he doesn't tell them, but he tells them in a way where he's God. So he's just amazing, because he tells them in a way where he gives them the truth, and still they can't hear it, and they can't see it, and they can't receive it. But this woman, okay, she fully receives it. She, you know, he tells her, and she receives it, you know. And I've just seen that with people, where they can literally have the truth right in front of them for a very long period of time. But if they have any faith in themselves, any of that pride, that he will let them go through a process of basically just having to realize that they're wrong. And it's just not something that it's just wise to just skip that if you can, and just already know and believe from the beginning that you're wrong. She's, I don't know, like, that's the type of relationship, you know, that I've seen, you know, just be, like, really fruitful with Jesus. Like, people are just so deceived sometimes. They think sometimes that they have, like, a foothold on the Lord, and that they can, like, somehow... through other means, like, control him or demand things of him. And you can't. He's God, okay? he can do whatever he wants. He has a character to him, okay, that is consistent. But in terms of, like, people trying to, like, force or make or manipulate, it doesn't work. He's God, okay? But what is so wonderful about him is how he just has this heart, and I'm just so grateful for it, for the humble. Like, it's really easy, okay, to have a very good, strong, and fruitful relationship with Christ. It just be humble, you know what I mean? Because, like, when you look at that, you've got all these people searching, wondering, questioning this, that, trying to figure it out. And he just, you know, and he doesn't answer them in a lot of places when you see, you know what I mean? He doesn't come, but when he's talking to her, you know, he just tells her, I'm the Christ, you know? And then she leaves her water pot, goes off running, and she's extremely excited. But I love that. Like, that's her, in my opinion, that's the relationship I want with Christ, where it's like, he could just tell me, you know what I mean? If I'm just humble, you know? And I've seen that with him, you know, where it's like, I think I've seen this with people earlier on in my walk with the Lord. I'll be with other Christians. They're searching. They're going to look this up, find this out. And it's not a bad thing to search for the Lord, but I just take the option. I think I'm just going to humble myself and, like, fast and pray and let him tell me. Or I'm going to go and, like, you know, wait and wait until the Holy Spirit tells me. And then sure enough, I get the answer, you know, much sooner, you know. Sorry, that's my baby in the background. You know, Christ is, he's God, but he's also man. And sometimes our minds will make them, you know, the Trinity into, like, you know, some sort of abstract concept. But, you know, you see this with the scriptures, you see this, you know, with Christ. He's a person, okay? He's got things he likes and things he doesn't like, okay? And so it's just very wise to humble yourself because, you know, like I already talked about, you know, that God gives more grace to the humble. And then just the last thing, too, that I just want to touch upon, and speaking about thankfulness, you know, that's another thing, you know what I mean? Like, God's character is very kind and full of mercy. But when we're humbled and we see, for example, you know, with like a meal or something I talked a little bit about earlier, you know, when he humbles you and you see the truth that, like, he didn't have to give you that meal, you know what I mean? Sometimes people, because they kind of just take it for granted because of his character, you know what I mean? And they're used to having things, you know what I mean? But when you're humbled and you see, like, he doesn't have to, like, God could totally withhold that from you if he wanted to, and it's not even, and there's, like, utterly nothing that you can do about it, okay? And it's the truth, okay? You know, there's, like, this sense of entitlement, especially here in the United States, where it's as though we have, like, a right to something, or, you know, just, I don't know, it's just a way of thinking that's just not true. God can do, when you really have been humbled by the Spirit, and your eyes are open to the fact that he had every legal right to like, cast you into hell forever, period, okay? Period, okay? Or possibly for you not even to exist. He could have just done away with Adam at the very beginning, okay? He had every right to do that, okay? But when you see that he didn't do that because he's full of mercy and he's kind, you know what I mean? And then beyond that, I don't want to go on for too long. He went through this whole ordeal just to redeem you and gave your son, his son, to you so that you could have eternal life. Like, you're thankful for everything. You know what I mean? Like, it changes your entire perspective. You know what I mean? To where you can see very clearly he didn't have to do anything. Okay? He doesn't have to do anything. Okay? And if he chose not to do, okay, these kindnesses that he does do towards us, okay, our lives, okay, could be way worse, okay, way worse, okay, as a matter of fact, even horrible, okay, if he wasn't kind the way that he is, okay, like, it's just so much that we take for granted because we think somehow that we have, like, a role in something or we have some entitlement in something, or some sort of, like, claim, and it's a deception, okay? It's just God's mercy, like, everywhere, okay? And when you can see that clearly, you're very grateful. You're extremely, extremely thankful. And when you're thankful, you're full of just joy, you know, gratitude, thanksgiving, real, true joy of the Spirit.
I'm going to leave you with, this is Luke chapter 3, starting at verse 4. It says, "As it is written in the book of the word of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And I'm going to go down to verse 9. It says, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Okay? So you want to be fruitful. You want to have good fruit. You want to have that humble and low and contrite heart that receives, okay, correction, okay, so that you can be more fruitful. You want to be that valley, okay, that is filled, not the mountain that is brought low, okay? It's not pretty. When I've seen it happen, it is not good, okay? So I just urge any sister that's listening to really pursue being humbled as low as possible, okay, and staying there, you know, and letting the Lord exalt you as he sees fit, because he knows everything, okay, and having just that really, the kingdom of heaven is so opposite of this place, you know. Here you got to be proud and you got to fight your way to get stuff and all this nonsense. But it's the opposite with him, you know. The more humble you are with the Lord, okay, the more favor you find. You know, like a scripture I read to you in the book of James, okay, he gives more grace to the humble, okay. You find that favor with him. You find that intimacy with him. You find that closeness with him. You find that purity with him. And that's what you want. The deception is that things in this world and in this place can make a person happy. They can't. Okay? They can't satisfy your soul. Not if you're a Christian. Okay? They're not going to do it. Okay? What satisfies your soul is him. A strong, powerful, close, okay, an intimate relationship with the Father and with Christ Jesus. Okay? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. That makes you happy. Okay, that will satisfy your soul. All right, don't let anything hinder that, not even your own pride. Okay, I pray that's helpful. Okay, blessings in Christ. Oh, and also too, just I ask for every sister that's listening, not only for myself and for my family. Okay, our family name is Rawls. Okay. Our household name is Rawls, but then also too for anybody that you are listening to these days, okay, who is telling you the truth, who really talks about, you know, the powers of darkness, who talks about Satan, about the Illuminati, okay, about all of these things, you need to keep us in prayer, okay, us, are those that you listen to, and their whole households, okay. I've seen it, you know, with myself and with others. There's very strong attacks, okay, against those servants of the Lord and the body of Christ who speak the truth, okay? We're not part of this falling away and this lukewarm church, but really talk about the power and authority of Christ, okay? And keep the sheep, you know, aware of Satan and talk about Satan, okay? There's heavy, heavy, heavy attacks. You need to care. Okay, you need to really take care of these servants of the Lord, wherever they are in your life, okay? You need to care for them, you need to help out, okay? You don't want to take these for granted. If you're listening to something, all of a sudden it's like the light goes on, lights go on, you know, and things like that, and things start making sense because there's such an attack, like I said, not only upon, like, me and my family, but other ones too that talk about things like spiritual warfare, okay? And it's a blessing. It's not something bad to be persecuted. I give thanks for it. But you want to, I'm pretty sure you'd want to keep listening to us. So I would keep us, you know, in remembrance in all things according to the will of God. You know, you need to care for those who are a blessing on to you. Care for each other. Okay, so anyways, I pray that's helpful, okay, and blessings in Christ.